Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
I want to ask you a question. Have you probably never heard of a city called Tenancingo, Mexico? And you'll probably be surprised to find out that this city is also known as the sex trafficking capital of the world. That's right, Tenancingo, Mexico, a city that produces pimps, sex traffickers. And largely this has been undetected, unknown until now. And we want to be sharing with you today an investigative report that begins to shed light on what's been happening in this small town in Mexico, the small city, where young girls, as young as 12 years old, have been kidnapped and sold into a lifestyle of sex trafficking, where they've experienced repeated rapes throughout, you know, their period of captivity. It is horrific. It's an atrocity. And we have to be careful, church, as ones that are called to be light bearers in the world, that we don't turn away from dark things, that we don't turn away from things that break our heart. In fact, we're supposed to look into them and have the heart and compassion of Jesus in order to bring an end to slavery. In fact, 27 million people around the world today, right now, are enslaved. They're held in bondage. Jesus came to set the captives free and set them free either from their own sin or the sin of other people that have kept them in bondage. We want to share with you today what's happening in Mexico and also what's happening in the life of a young lady named Carla. She was held captive. She was kidnapped in her town. She was lied to, but she also got free. And we want to share with you her story. Why? So that we can be aware, so that we can have compassion, and so that we can do our part to ending sex trafficking in our generation. I want you to watch this.
A traditional feast honoring Saint Michael the Archangel. Catholic teaching says Saint Michael led heaven's forces in a war against evil. But here in Tenancingo, Mexico, anti-trafficking groups say he goes by a different name. They call him the patron saint of pimping.
I remember that I asked my mother for permission to go to the fair the day before.
Estrella was 14 years old when she and her cousin were kidnapped, leaving a town fair. They were drugged and taken to a place many anti-slavery activists have called the sex trafficking capital of the world.
I would cry every day. I would beg that woman to let me go. It was nauseating for me to be taken to a bar to sleep with 20 to 30 men every day. They were young and old, even elderly, and we couldn't complain at all.
From afar, Mexico's Tenancingo village appears quaint, even serene.
This is really the place where you can see slavery in the worst of the story.
Rosy Orozco, head of Mexico's Special Committee to Combat Trafficking in Person, says just how the religious teachings became so corrupted goes back decades, with fathers teaching sons and uncles teaching nephews.
They know how to teach them to end in 5 minutes. So they will be with 20 men in a home and then in another place with 10. And at the end of the day, 60 times a day, they say.
Authorities say Tenancingo is the start of a pipeline of forced prostitution, the headquarters of a vast criminal enterprise stretching across Mexico and the United States. Matilde, now in hiding in the United States, was one of hundreds of victims forced to provide sex to dozens of men each day.
He told me he's sending me to the U.S. because he can make twice as much.
Susan Coppedge, the U.S. State Department's new ambassador at large to combat human trafficking, says the traffickers often refer to their upbringing in court.
One of our defendants, when he was sentenced, his argument was, my dad was a pimp, My granddad was a pimp. At 13, I was told I was going to be a pimp. So that's what the town does. That's their industry.
When you come here, you immediately get the sense that there's something different about this town. As a matter of fact, authorities told us that they cannot guarantee our safety. And you get the idea that no matter who you are, if you're not from this town, you're not welcome here.
We tried over the course of several months to speak with Tenancingo's mayor, even visiting his office upon first arriving in the town. We were denied and warned to stay close to the town square. By late afternoon, the tension we felt became more palpable. We'd been warned of the dangers journalists face in this town. Two church officials approached. I tell her we came because we'd like to speak to the mayor about the issue of human trafficking. She motions for a man with a knife to come over. Burn them, the young men behind us shout. It's time to go.
A driver says that he noticed that when we were leaving the town, there was a gray car that started following us, and they followed us for about 10 minutes.
As the town recedes into the rear view, there's a sinking feeling present among our crew. On this day, Tenancingo proved too dangerous, leaving the battle to protect girls like Estrella and Matilde from the evils of sex trafficking solely in the hands of Saint Michael and his army of angels. Rafael Romo, Tenancingo, Mexico.
Doesn't that just break your heart? Church, we have to do something about this. And one of the things that we can do is begin to start educating ourselves to the reality of what is happening every single day. In fact, some statistics say that every 30 seconds, someone in the world is enslaved in human trafficking of some sort in one way or the other. The hope to this is the gospel of Jesus Christ, is the power of the gospel to break those in bondage and to set them free. When we get back from this break, we're going to talk about Carla's story and what we can do to end this atrocity that's happening in our world. Tenancingo, Mexico, sex trafficking capital of the world. And to think that they somehow co-opted and just infused religion in the middle of this. I mean, it's just really just, it's evil. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's evil. It's generational curse. Mm-hmm. But it's amazing to see what's happened and how long it's been undetected.
Yeah, and to look at that and to see how this is an entire city. Mm. When you look at some of the reports, like I said, this is what they do. This is the entire city. Like, that's their industry. They raise pimps.
Traffickers, sex traffickers.
Sex traffickers. And it's like, so often you think that, okay, you know, obviously, you know, one city couldn't do this. And it's like, you look at that and it's just like, the power of agreement. You have an entire city doing this, and you see, you know, some of the stories. It's just like they go to other neighboring cities to lure young girls into this industry.
Talk about deception and generational curses. Talk about how life is so insignificant in the eyes of someone who thinks that for their own personal gain, they could either A, abuse a person like that against their will and rape them, and on the other side, that they could actually sell that person for their own selfish gains.
Yeah.
Think about the depths of evil and deception. I want you to listen and to see Carla's story, because Carla was a victim. She was an average young girl like any other young girl. And one day she went from being in her house with her family to one day being the property of sex traffickers. And they told her what to do, when to do, when to get up, when to go to bed, what to eat, when to eat. And she was now property of somebody else. I want you to listen to her story. I want you to listen and to see with a heart of compassion. Watch this.
Growing up in Mexico, life for Carla Jacinto wasn't a fairy tale. But at 12 years old, she thought she had met her Prince Charming.
He bought me clothes and shoes. He told me, "You're going to be my princess."
Carla's new boyfriend was older and from a faraway village called Tenancingo. But after 3 months, the relationship changed and the scam was revealed. Carla's prince was actually a pimp working as part of an organized crime ring based in Tenancingo. He told her she would be working the streets as a prostitute.
He started punching me, kicking me, pulling my hair. He would spit on my face. That day, he even burned me with iron.
Susan Coppedge is the U.S. State Department's ambassador at large to combat human trafficking. Before that, she worked at the U.S. Attorney's Office in Atlanta, Georgia.
We've prosecuted numerous cases here in Atlanta involving traffickers from Mexico, and particularly Tenancingo.
Coppedge says oftentimes entire families in Tenancingo and the rest of Tlaxcala State are in on the scam. CNN over several weeks made numerous attempts to speak with Tenancingo town officials. We even went to the mayor's office twice, but were denied interviews each time. Coppedge says there's good reason for the officials being evasive.
Well, we've been told by the traffickers themselves and by the young girls that this town raises pimps, that that's what they've done for generations. That's what the town does. That's their industry. And yet, in smaller rural communities around there, the young girls don't have any idea that this is what that town's reputation is.
Carla says she was forced to prostitute for 4 years with never a day off. She says her pimp trafficked her across Mexico, demanding she see at least 30 customers a day and keep a daily log of clients. By age 16, Carla calculates she was raped more than 43,200 times.
There were men that would go just to laugh at me. They laughed when I cried.
Imagine in the mind of a 12 years old who is raped. If she cried, he will hit her worse. If she didn't cry, he will hit her again.
Rosie Orozco is a victim's advocate. The former Mexican senator says it's the powerful who allow trafficking to continue.
She had clients that were judges, priests, pastors, police. So she knew that she could not run away to go to the authorities.
Carla says one time, 30 uniformed police officers raided the brothel she was in. But instead of making arrests or rescues, they made a deal with the brothel owner.
The uniformed police officers entered the room we were in. We had to do everything they asked of us. The whole thing lasted 3 or 4 hours.
What was going through your mind at that point, thinking that those who are supposed to protect you were abusing you?
They were sickening to me. Because they could see we were minors. It was obvious, right? We looked our age. We weren't even fully developed. They could see our sad faces.
There are an estimated 2 million children exploited every year in the global commercial sex trade. Violence, corruption, and a mix of fear and shame are major factors keeping children from trying to escape.
And you lived this hell for 4 years?
You see me now with a smile on my face, but when I remember all of that, it still hurts a lot. I'm going to fight against this until the end. Every day when I wake up, I wonder if I'm going to be alive at the end of the day because of what we do, and what I have experienced makes me a target. Death is lurking.
I'm sorry.
The pain in Carla's face is clear. But perhaps the true tragedy of her story is that it's shared by so many other children like her, still being controlled by human traffickers as we speak. Rafael Romo, CNN, Mexico City.
What a tragedy. What a tragedy. It's amazing. I mean, this is a young girl. The average age, by the way, of a victim is actually 12 years old.
Mm-hmm. You know, if this doesn't break your heart, pray that God would just break your heart about this. Could you look at the life that, that she's talking about? This was her shift. This was her job from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m., 20, 30, 40 clients a day. And to think about just the brokenness of this, and it's just, this is what she endured. This was her daily life.
Yeah. You know, there's so many things that we can do. We can begin to start doing. One, of course, is to pray. We want to take you straight to a connect the dots moment. This is when we've talked about this particular issue, sex trafficking, in time back in our program. We want to kind of bring what we discussed back then to what's actually happening right now. And we're going to give you some encouragement, because you got to be looking at this stuff and saying, we got to do something. Well, there are organizations, there are groups, there are ministries that are doing something. We're doing something right now, bringing awareness. But there's other organizations that are actually doing physical extractions. They're actually going to these places and they're actually rescuing these women and children. It's a beautiful thing to see. Gives us a lot of hope. But I want you to watch and to listen, so that you can play a part and you can be a part of what's happening right now. Watch this.
Greatest number of slaves in the history. And that, you know, if you are a slave that has to make bricks with no straw, that's one thing. If you're forced to go sell drugs, if drug is the thing that they're using to be able to make their money, organized crime's using, then they sell the drug, they got to go grow more drug.
Right.
More drugs. Mm-hmm. But if you are the person the organized crime person is using to make money on,
the product,
then they will actually sell you over and over and over. And I mean, the coldness and the disassociation from the humanity of a man that could take a, you know, 5-year-old girl.
Mm-hmm.
And do that, but, and to sell her again and again and again. But understand this, it doesn't just happen like that.
Exactly.
We didn't just get here.
Exactly.
And if you go back, you'll be really surprised. If you go back and you connect all those dots, you'll be surprised how this is nothing but Ahab and Jezebel's gods that you wouldn't deal with.
That's right.
Progressed all the way through to now humanity's doing something like this.
Mm-hmm.
It's all connected.
Yeah.
It's all connected because God's given each individual authority, and he's asked us and told us you can lay that down at the cross of Christ and surrender that authority to Jesus and let him be the supreme organizer of your life. Then all of a sudden he brings us and this nation out of such darkness and the world out of darkness. But outside of that, it is all darkness. When we get back from this break, I'm hoping you're going to hear about a brand new organization that just opened up and started this week from a previous reported federal agent that was rescuing these kids.
Wow.
And it's called Operation Underground Railroad. Although it is Glenn Beck that's actually talking about this, it's the operation is called Operation Underground Railroad. This federal agent came to Glenn Beck. I'm not 100% in support of his stance, but in regards to what he's saying right here, I'm thinking, my goodness, this is so powerful, because this is somebody who's been working in the industry in regards to the undercover to be able to rescue that, in regards to Vision Without Borders talking about rescuing. Listen up. Listen to this.
Not long ago, a horrific video of a 5-year-old boy being sexually abused in the worst way was discovered by U.S. authorities. The boy was 5. And his 12-year-old sister. They had been kidnapped and they had been trafficked back and forth between the U.S. and Mexico. Both were sex slaves to a monster of a man. Well, something happened. Divine providence stepped in. And it took place at the U.S.-Mexico border. The boy was seen by a U.S. official who knew who he was, identified the boy in the video. And the boy was rescued from the monster. The monster is going to spend the rest of his life in prison. But a friend of mine, who I didn't know what he did for a living, he had a whole front story. I had no idea. He told me one day, I need to meet with you. And so I met with him, and he told me what he really did. He is an undercover operative who infiltrates and dismantles child trafficking rings. He was one of the first on the scenes with that 5-year-old boy. That little boy jumped into the arms of my friend, who tearfully held him, told him he was safe. The kid would not let go, fearful that he's going to fall back into the dark hands of that monster again. It took a while, but after he realized he was safe, he gave my friend a gift. It's a gift of a necklace. It's this necklace. It reads, "Man of God, pursue godliness, faith, and love." That necklace meant everything to the child. It represented his only hope. It was given to him by his sister, his last prayer. His older sister gave it to him and said, "Wear it and pray that God will rescue us." Their united prayer was answered at last, and they passed that prayer on to my friend, who told me tearfully, "I can't stop, Glenn. How do I stop? I know we can rescue more people." He was wearing this necklace as a reminder of what the story represents, the most cruel form of slavery that has ever existed. Yes, slavery still exists, and what's worse, it is the fastest growing criminal enterprise in the world. And it's not happening in some distant land. It's happening here, in your own neighborhood. Nearly 2 million children are exploited every single year. The global commercial sex trade is number one, and it is growing. Thousands are smuggled into the United States and forced into sex slavery every year in our own towns. Meanwhile, our children are smuggled out. Human trafficking is a $32 billion a year business. This is why my friend needed the necklace. This is why he needed the prayer of hope that somehow, some way, this dark form of modern day slavery might be eradicated. Why are we talking about slavery that happened 150 years ago? There is a huge problem that exists right now. And here's the cherry on top. The governments of the world cannot remedy this plague. They can't do it. At least they can't do it alone. Despite our best efforts, there is the bureaucracy, there is apathy, there is mismanaged budgets. Government shutdowns are always blamed. Whatever it is, the rescue operations don't happen. And those are the weak excuses. There are the jurisdictional restraints. The U.S. government and other developed nations that have the tools necessary sometimes can't intervene into the infected nations to rescue the kids because they don't have jurisdiction. And too often, they don't have the will to help. That's the tragic thing. The infected nations rarely have the tools and the resources necessary to get the job done. So hundreds of thousands of children are forced to remain in shackles. When my first daughter was born, Mary, I begged God, "Please give it to me." I knew he wouldn't. She has cerebral palsy. But I said, "If you just help her, I will do whatever I can to help children. I know how God feels about children." I made a promise that was a little reminiscent of another promise made by a young Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln, the first time he went to a slave market, he looked at his young companion and he said, "Boy, let's get away from this. And if ever I get a chance to hit that thing, I'm going to hit it hard." Well, when I first heard about my friend and what he does, I thought, how can I hit that hard? I think we have a solution. And it's a solution you can be a part of. It is called Operation Underground Railroad. It's a team of specialists, former CIA agents, former special agents, former Navy SEALs, former Green Berets. They all have a unique skill set for extracting people, extracting, in this case, children from the sex trade. They are the Underground Jump Team.
We find children that have been kidnapped, used for sexual slaves, and we go get them, and we take them to a better life. I'm telling you, we are the people who do that. We can go in there and extract these kids. I've broken up slavery rings. I've seen what it's done to people. These children deserve better.
Now, this jump team represents a bright light that will destroy the darkness of the child sex slavery and its tentacles throughout the world. Using cutting-edge technology that will boggle your mind, it identifies the black markets of child porn production. And then using the latest in undercover sting operations, the jump team will liberate these children and permanently dismantle those sex rings that hold them captive. They'll then take these kids back either home to their parents or places where they can be cared for. Now, we have partnered with many organizations the world over who are waiting with open arms to care for these children, and we can do it.
I can't believe all these girls are there being sold as objects.
Well, I'm Rosie Orozco. I'm the president of a commission that is against human trafficking.
It's incredible that they are standing beside the girls without doing anything.
And they are taking to be raped 30, 40, 50 times a day in the United States. So yes, we have to work together. We have so much to do to stop slavery in both countries. And we are very thankful to the Underground Railroad Project that you can save lives, you can save children, and we really look forward to work with you because this project can really change the life of people who are slaves.
Y estoy feliz porque vuelvan a ser como personas y pues sé que mis sueños van a ser realidad otra vez.
Que por muy larga que sea tu noche, tu amanecer va a llegar.
To save one life is to save a whole world. And those girls are people like any of us.
I want to go to college and be an English teacher.
Estoy casi a 10 días de entrar a mi escuela de belleza, es algo que me gusta, me apasiona.
Después de eso quiero estudiar turismo porque me gustan los idiomas.
The goal is really simple: rescue children from hell. I can't tell you everything that I know about the jump team. I can't tell you who's behind it, but I can tell you that I have seen their plan up close. I can tell you that they have identified American citizens living in various countries who are selling children for sex out of their own homes right now, even as I tell you this message. I can tell you that these children are going to be repeatedly raped this coming weekend. We received a jump team report that confirms that there is an individual here who just the other day distributed 8,700 child rape videos. There's another individual who just sent out, just a couple of days ago, 6,300 child rape videos. This is the tip of the iceberg. You will not believe how big this problem is, and nobody wants to talk about it. The jump team knows where these guys are. They know how to take them down legally and with government authorities. But without the jump team, there is no plan in place to dismantle these sex rings. The jump team has communicated already with these dark people in an undercover capacity, and they are ready and willing to take them down right now and rescue children. But they need your help. They need support right now. They need us to send them out on their mission. They need your tax-deductible dollars. To the children who we pray for daily, we say, we didn't know you were there, but now that we do, hold on. We are on the way. To the captors, the perpetrators, the monsters who dare offend those children, I declare, be afraid. Because we are on the way. And to you, the average person who is just trying to make your way through this world, I plead with you, donate, help if you can. If you can't afford something, pray. But be a part of the jump team. Join the abolitionists.
It's time for us to stand up. We've been praying.
Yeah.
And Operation Underground Railroad, which abbreviated as R, our children, they're standing up right now, a nonprofit that you can give financially right now to stand up. We can do something about this. Not only pray, but give. Go to OperationUndergroundRailroad.org, or just go to VFNTV.com and click on links, and we'll have that available there for you. We've been praying for quite some time, and we picked up the prayer from the International House of Prayer with Mike Bickle and all those that pray faithfully before the Lord about, and we didn't even know it existed until it was made known through their work there, about the slavery taking place in the world today. The greatest number of slaves that ever existed on the face of the earth is happening right now, and the majority of that is sex slavery.
Yeah.
And it's girls and kids. I mean, women.
160 countries worldwide are affected by this.
And what are the numbers?
Over 1 million children are trafficked worldwide each year, and 43% are forced into sex slavery.
Yeah, so each year. And, of course, you've heard us talk about Exodus Cry. You heard us talk about Exodus Cry and how we've been standing with them. And that was birthed out of prayer with International House of Prayer Kansas City. And it was like at some point, you know, your prayer needs to accompany your actions.
That's
and
right.
So they went out and made the video documentary.
I believe it's called Exodus Cry. We can figure
out. Well, yeah. But what's that? Nefarious.
Nefarious.
And Nefarious exposed it. And this is the dilemma, and this is what we just talked about was, okay, you rescue these folks. What do you do with them?
Mm-hmm.
And it makes sense if the church is the church, you know, then if we're not tied up in ourselves but tied up in taking care of folks, and we break off all these regulations that strap people from being able to do things for folks. Just recently somebody got arrested because of having two hurting people in the same building at the same time was an illegal thing. And it's like nothing happened, but you have people of all ages that are hurting, and what do? And they arrested him because he had a teenager in the building that had an adult in the building. And there was a lot of people there, but just that combo deal created a law that says he has to go to jail now, and they shut down everything and stopped that entire work. I don't know where it's good or bad. I'm just saying, like, that causes people to say, well, I want to help these children, but these regulations, these rules, and this evil suspicion and all this kind of stuff. And we have to begin to really, of course, the answer is preaching the gospel and our hearts getting transformed, and then out of that produces things like Exodus Cry.
Wow. There's a lot of things to take in.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of information, but we want to leave you with some action steps that you can begin to start taking to say, hey, what's my part? What's my role? What can I do? When you see these atrocities and you see the hurt, the pain, when you begin to start empathizing and start internalizing and start asking yourself, how would I respond if this was my daughter, my niece, my mother, my child? We begin to start feeling the pain, and then we want to do something.
Yeah, it's when you see this, then it empowers you to have a response, because so many times before, it's just like, I didn't know. It's just like, now we have that ability to say, I do know. And now, not only that, it's just like, okay, now I have an ability to do something about it.
Right. So the first thing we want to do is just educate yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're doing now by watching VFN TV. Go to The Torch. You can find it at VFNTV.com. We have many segments in where we discuss human trafficking. This is something that's important to us, and we're sharing it with you, and we're going to continue, by God's grace, to keep the light on this. This is our part. We're bringing awareness and helping you so that you can educate yourself, but also you can be one that now begins to educate others by sharing these segments and, you know, allowing them to go viral like many of you have already. The other thing you can do is really begin to start asking God for a burden so that you can have compassion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of times we begin to start doing things in our own strength because it's a good idea, but we lack the empathy, we lack the compassion. And you want to have a heart of compassion. You want to be able to be broken over what you're seeing, over what's happening, you know? Of course, you can pray. You know, in fact, that's the chief thing. And I think, Steve, in our flesh, we automatically want to run to start doing things, you know, okay, what do we do now? And we start jumping into things. But the most important thing you can do in any situation, the chief thing, is always to pray, to be one that stands in the gap and one that is praying to God on behalf of others. That's an intercessor, one who's standing in the gap and one who's praying for God to intervene and for ministries that are rescuing and extracting and organizations that are doing these things. Pray. You want aerial support.
And it's a huge thing. It's just like, you know, with all the information that we're sharing and making known, it's like you can pray that the Holy Spirit would invade the city of Tenancingo, that all of those, that it's just like God can do a miracle. We've talked about before the cities that went through transformation and people were praying, and watch how an entire city was transformed and ended up sharing the light of the gospel.
Imagine what a prayer walk would do.
Hugely.
Imagine what dedicated time of prayer. I mean, we have a prayer and fasting community ourselves, and 5 years now.
Oh yeah,
we've been praying, and one of them is to end human trafficking.
Yeah.
Is to end human trafficking. Be a part of a group of believers that is praying to end human trafficking. Another thing you can do is to help spread awareness. Ladies can go into the ladies' bathroom and actually put posters that have human trafficking, sex trafficking hotline numbers. We've learned that in times past that is a brilliant way that you can put that information in a ladies' bathroom, so when they go to the restroom, they could actually make a phone call and have that number
and get rescued.
In their pocket. Yeah, that's the plan.
Yeah.
And get saved and get someone to find out where they're at. And then the last thing you can do, right? You can pray, you can spread awareness, you can educate yourself, but you can also give. You know, you many of us have been blessed with a lot of resources. You can give to organizations that, one, you know, are keeping the conversation out there. One that's making sure that there's material testimony, that they're constantly bringing this up so that others can be exposed to it. And secondly, you can give to organizations that are actually doing physical extractions and that are working to help to rehabilitate these young girls, these children, these young ladies that need ministry. I mean, they need to be healed in so many ways. Don't forget, there's always something you can do. We ask that you prayerfully consider joining us in this. Together, we can make a stamp, Steve. We can make a stand against sex trafficking, definitely in the Gulf Coast and the nation and the world. But we can start right here where we're at. We want to pray with you. And we ask that, of course, that you pray for us as we ask every day. But we want this time together to seek God. Father, we thank you, Lord, for our audience. We thank you for their partnership. We thank you that we're one, Lord. And we ask you, together, Lord, as one people with one mind and one accord, to end sex trafficking. Lord, that you would save the pimp, the abuser, and the abused. That God, that you would shatter these networks of terror, of crime, of evil, and that you would bring the gospel to these areas, Lord. Keep our communities safe. Keep our children safe, Lord. And we ask, God, that you would continue, Lord, to end abortion and send revival. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for watching.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN-TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.